Verses 1 to 13, sorry.
Yes. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine."
For some of us, I know may allow me that I give them chance. It's all right. Don't worry, one of those things. I'm sure we have been together following the story, coming towards to the time the Holy Spirit was being given that time. And the text, therefore, I was trying to imagine and invite you to just reflect a bit if you have ever sat in a place. It might be in your garden, or maybe in a church, or somewhere else, and you just felt things were not as they are supposed to be. When it comes to church, it might be you try to remember how it used to be those days. With my colleagues, we usually say, when the days were young. You know, were on fire. Things were moving. You know, things felt stronger. Family ties, the Sunday school. You know, there was just that energy in the church. But sometimes today, it seems as if things have changed. It feels quieter. And we might not be wrong if we say, maybe our best days are behind us. We might not be faulted if we concluded like that. That's what happened similarly that time. The story we have read today, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, that was the situation. Things were not as we think they were, that people were up, were happy, were jubilating that the Spirit of truth is coming. No. The disciples were actually in the upper room, not because they wanted to be closer to heaven, but they were afraid. There was too much uncertainty. What happens now? They were waiting on the promise. But what happened next was a game changer. The Spirit of truth was at work. God just told them, I'm not yet done with you. Sometimes, like I said, we might think they had it all figured it out, but they didn't. They actually didn't have a plan. They were hiding. They were ashamed that the one that they had followed is nowhere to speak for them. But one thing that you cannot take away from those people is that they were waiting. They were present, just like we are, with the uncertainties in the church. But we are there. We still believe. You know, believe is not the absence of doubt. But it is amidst doubt, you still try to move on. Amidst doubt, you press on. Because our presence, when we are there, that is where actually God begins his work. Like I said, some of us can conclude or may feel in a certain way. It's easy to encourage yourself that, oh, I'm not as strong as I was. It's easy. When the light at the end of a tunnel, you can't see it properly. You know, it's easy to conclude and to take out yourself from the race. And especially when you have seen many sunrises, you can say, oh, it's not for me. The Spirit of truth did not come to those who had things figured out. Because it's not about what you or what I can do. But when we say, here I am, that is where God starts. Here I am. here I am. Not someone who has things figured out. We take too much time into thinking of what are we going to do. But God is not looking at people who have a plan. You know? God is just looking for those who are available. And I'll continue to repeat this. People like us, we are available. We take on different tasks to make sure that the work of the Lord continues to move. May I hear an amen there? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You know, God is not looking for those who have figured out things. Those like you and me who are present. I know some of you can relate to an old Scottish home, you know, when it comes to the fire. When it bent low, you didn't throw the whole heath away. You gently steered what remains. Just like us in Africa, you know, when the firewood, you know, you gather the little bits that are remaining, you know. In an old Scottish home, you opened it up and let the air in, just like it is done in Africa, you know, you just together. Because even a small ember, when given space, it burns again. Some of us who come from Africa who play with firewood, you know, sometimes the following day you might think there's nothing, you know. It's only confused little wee ones who would try to step on there because, you know, there's something, there's still some fire. And that little fire can start it. This is what Pentecost basically reminds us. Not that we become evangelicals, no. But that God can work even with those. It's not those who are out there. Those who are still there. God is at work. Allow me to digress a bit from my slide, you know. The challenge that we have, we as Reformed Presbyterians, is that the Holy Spirit was rarely talked about in the writings of our fathers of the Protestant. The Holy Spirit is rarely talked about, even from the Catholic Church where we came from, you know. That is why when we are saying out the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Spirit was just added in later years, after about 100 years. That's why you see the first talks about, I believe in God the Father, and it explains who God the Father is and what he does. And it comes on to God the Son. He says he was born of the Virgin Mary, and it speaks. But the Holy Spirit just, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and that's it. And sometimes we think when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's not our thing. It's for the evangelicals, it's for those, the charismatics. But the Holy Spirit actually is a work of God. At Pentecost, as a promise was given, rushing wind. Amongst them who were just waiting, something happened. Something strange happened. And those people who were afraid, people who were hiding, they felt encouraged. They stood up and began to speak. Not just amongst themselves, they went out. They became bold. And for us, the Holy Spirit is not just a comforter. The Holy Spirit actually is what God uses within us to do his work. As I was saying, where I come from in the church, the Reformed Church in Zambia, most of the people were saying, that is not the kind of thing for me. We believe in God who speaks very orderly. You know, it's for young people. The Holy Spirit thing is for young people because God is an orderly God. I don't know if we may associate with those who say that, but they were not wrong. The disciples, because of the Holy Spirit, they went out. But remember, they were afraid. But when the Spirit came, they came out. Not that they wanted to come out, not that they managed to come out, but the Spirit of God itself enabled them to speak in different languages. Proclaimed, it was the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we ask wrong questions. But those wrong questions are not always bad. But when you ask a wrong question, you may get a wrong answer. That's the only challenge. And we may ask ourselves, am I strong enough? Is this thing for me? The question should be, are we open for God to use us again? The disciples went out when the Spirit of truth came on them. Something that was wonderful which happened. Lots of people, especially even us, those who read the Bible, we usually talk about people speaking in tongues as the miracle. But you know, the miracle which is silent is that people from different places heard them speak in their own languages. We usually don't talk about that. We usually want something spectacular. You know, they speak in tongues, so you must speak it. No. The Spirit of truth enabled the disciples so that people may hear the wonders of God, the love of God. And those who were speaking in different languages, they were not scientists. They were not priests. It was not the high priest. They were just fishermen and common people, the disciples. And those who were alleged to be the outcasts, the tax collector, like Matthew, those who were rejected. It was the ordinary whom the Spirit of truth used. God used them to share his love, that I love you, everyone. Talking about hearing people speak in their own language, it was interesting. One day after being in Scotland for 16 months, I'd never met someone who speaks my language. And one day on the train, someone was asking me, "Hi, are you from Nigeria?" I said, "No, I'm from Zambia." Then he said, "Mulibwanji," greeted me in my language and said, "Oh, wonderful." And I felt happy that day. I was actually come to see Robin and Tom, yeah, for my informal visit. And those people, they are the family I have in Dundee. They are actually Zambians in Dundee, and we can speak our language and be happy, you know, create a small Zambia in Scotland, you know. It feels good to hear someone in your language speak to you when you are thousands of miles away. But people in Dundee, those that we serve in our parish, they are not looking out to hear me speak Nyanja or Bemba or Chichewa or to speak Yoruba or any other language. What they need something. What is God doing? Something important to them. You know, they are looking for a faith expressed in a way they can relate. They are looking for a good neighbor. They are looking for someone they can have simple, honest conversations. From Alva and Main Street up into Dundee, when I'm doing my visits, most of the time I'm not actually doing the visits. I see as if the people that I visit are the one visiting me, because I'll be sitting down with someone I'm visiting and they'll be telling me lots of stories. To an extent, I say, "Oh, it's an hour. And they've been speaking, I've not spoken yet," you know. You know, people are looking for someone they can have conversations with, someone who can listen to them. That's what people are looking for. But us, we always look at the other side and think we are smaller. We are older now. Let's reduce, you know, those who go out, and we are happy for those of us who are just chatting with those, our neighbors, and those we've been in church with, and many people. Pentecost speaks to us who think that we are now small. Because it's not about what we do, but it's about what God can do through us. Not actually what God can do, but what God is doing. What God is doing. It's those who are present. Pentecost, where it begins. It's not something that we have to strive for. It's not something that we should look out to. It's not something that we should act. It's just those who are there. Pentecost is not an invitation which brings pressure on us that we must act differently. We must stop the way we have been. You know, it's not an invitation that that forces a certain way, you know. The days I've been speaking about the Spirit of Truth, I'm not trying to make us behave in a certain, in a new way, no. I'm not trying to invite us to change, no. But simply to be open and trust again. Maybe just add an extra step or maintain the same rhythm. But to be open to the Spirit of Truth. Because He's present, He's here. He would love to use us continuously. The Spirit of Truth is here. You don't need to change. I don't want you to start jumping. No. But just the invitation is to be open to the Spirit of Truth so that He can lead you, can enlarge your territory. Those smiles that you give people, that people may see more of those. The singing that people enjoy that you do, more of those saving that you are doing, all right? That's the invitation. I'll humbly ask you that we may pray together as we finish. Lord, we may feel small, but You are not small. We may feel tired, but Your Spirit is not tired. Fill us again and use us even as we are for Your glory and for the people of this place. Amen.